The uninjected population has been vindicated in a new study. Canada reports a shocking 300% increase in unspecified causes of death. Two bills have been introduced in the US to exit the United Nations and the World Health Organization, and an Italian health minister, Roberto Speranza, is under investigation for murder for concealing COVID-19 vaccine deaths. All of that and more on today's broadcast. I'm Maria Z of zmedia.com, and this is Vigilant Fox's Media Blackout. The tragedy of the ultimate division created by governments worldwide over the decision as to whether or not to inject yourself with an experimental gene therapy craftily labelled as a COVID-19 vaccine is something that many people still have not recovered from. Over the past 3 years, we've seen many people within society turn against the uninjected population, excluding them from social activities, excluding them from job opportunities, and even excluding them from family. Much of this was due to strong, lockstep media and government messaging across every country, and we will discuss the source in a moment. Creating labels on top of labels, segmenting people into neat little boxes of compliant versus hesitant, and of course, how could we forget the anti-vaxxers and conspiracy theorists who were right all along? 1 month ago, Vigilant News published a powerful video as a tribute to the citizen heroes of our time, the uninjected. Let's take a look at some of that clip now.
My message to unvaccinated Americans is this. What more is there to wait for? What more do you need to see? We've made vaccinations free, safe, and convenient. The vaccine has FDA approval. Over 200 million Americans have gotten at least one shot. We've been patient. But our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us. Get vaccinated.
So you basically said this is going to be like, well, it's almost like, you probably don't see it like this, the two different classes of people. If you're vaccinated or if you're unvaccinated, you have all these rights. If you are vaccinated...
That is what it is, so, yep.
Yeah, if you are anti-mandate, you are absolutely anti-vax. I don't care what your personal vaccination status is. If you support, champion, give a green light, give comfort to, support anybody who argues against the vaccine, you are an anti-vaxxer. Absolutely. Your personal vaccination status is utterly irrelevant. If you campaign against the mandate, if you campaign against people being vaccinated in vulnerable settings, teachers in classrooms, I'll be really clear. At that point in time, people are actually supporting the idea of a teacher being unvaccinated in a remote community classroom with kids who cannot be vaccinated. I reject that. I still reject it. And if you are out there in any way, shape or form campaigning against this mandate, you are absolutely anti-vax.
That last clip was of Michael Gunner in the Northern Territory in Australia, who sent the military to gather Aboriginal people in remote communities and force them into quarantine camps. They weren't sick. They were just, quote, close contacts. And at the time, some Aboriginal organisations came out publicly declaring these people who were not sick were more than happy to be forced into a concentration camp by the military in order to keep the community safe. Well, two of them escaped that facility, actually, indicating they weren't so happy to be there. The National Manhunt was aired on television for all to see. Many people, as a result of this lockstep aggressive propaganda campaign, became viciously aggressive and hateful towards the uninjected population. A prime example of this is Canadian journalist Ian Van Dayel, who was an advocate for mandates and firing people who'd not had the injections, even going so far as to calling for them to be put into concentration camps, according to this article published by the Gateway Pundit. Sadly, Van Dayel is not here for us to have a rational conversation with anymore, as he tragically joined the camp of young people dying suddenly at the age of 33 this week. While his specific cause of death is unknown at this stage, the fact that so many people are dying unexpectedly for unexplained reasons following the rollout of the COVID injections, it certainly does beg the question as to whether there is a correlation. Obviously, our thoughts and prayers are with his family and all of those dying unexpectedly in these times. We will have a look at the shocking data that's just come out of Canada later in the broadcast around this topic. But first, a new study published in the British Medical Journal has found that unvaccinated people were scapegoated for the failure of the COVID vaccines. This article posted on the Vigilant News Network was originally published on Igor Chudov's Substack, including SciPost, reporting that unvaccinated individuals were disproportionately scapegoated, according to the study. Notably from the authors of the study, quote, "However, what we found to be missing was an address to misinformation and the consequence stemming from overestimating the threat. Consider, for instance, how in 2020, more than 30% of Americans believed that a COVID infection led to a 50% chance of hospitalization. It never did, nor was there ever evidence to suggest it might. Left-leaning individuals tended to overestimate COVID harms to a greater degree than conservatives." But this, of course, was not the case. The truth was that the COVID quote-unquote vaccine did not work and did not prevent any transmission. And after a month or two, as Igor highlights, past injection time, it made the injected more likely to be infected. Also highlighted in this article is the tragic impact that it had on many families. And in a separate Substack, which is referenced in this article, Igor takes a look at this one particular Reddit user, which we want to show you. In Igor's newsletter titled Burning Bridges, Giving Up, Forgiving and Reconciling, he mentions one particular Reddit user, and he's got the link to the archived post here. And it's titled Cutting Off Anti-Vax Family and Friends. Now, the Substack goes through a range of people and their tragic experiences, including cutting off their family even after someone has died from a blood clot, clearly due to the injection. But this unexpected ending of the original Reddit user we mentioned is worth looking at. She says, "My partner is leaving me and I've been a stay-at-home mum for 2 years. She says that her partner bought a house last year and wouldn't let her put her name on it, and now he's leaving her and wants her out. She says, I have nothing, no money, no home now. I can't believe I relied on a man like this with my entire life." And she said that they weren't married and her son definitely was his. But her update is what we really wanted to highlight here. She says that her partner of nearly 4 years left her and kicked her and her almost 2-year-old son out with nothing. And she's currently living with her parents. She says that she's lucky that she has family who've been so supportive and wonderful, and Igor says that he's glad that her family, whom she previously fought to prevent them from seeing their grandchild, reconciled, although under less than perfect circumstances. We too are glad this person has been reconciled with her family, and sadly, stories like this are all too common. The BMJ study explains why. The study concludes with a general discussion that, paraphrased, basically says that unvaccinated individuals were blamed for a vaccine that didn't work, and that we now know inflamed the ill health of the world because it caused illness and hospitalization. The results showed that people judge the unvaccinated versus vaccinated individuals as more responsible and blameworthy for overwhelming the healthcare system, jeopardizing public health efforts, and prolonging the pandemic. Importantly, these judgments emerged even for characters who, according to scientific evidence available at the time, were at exceedingly low risk of hospitalizations, and the study also provides evidence that the scapegoating of the unvaccinated was not grounded in available empirical facts, but a miscalibration of risk. But it shouldn't really end there, because as Chudov adequately highlights, the hatred and division were intentional. Linked here is a published article from the World Economic Forum on the tactics people could use to overcome, quote, vaccine hesitancy. The WEF notably advocated for using the tactic of FOMO, or fear of missing out, to essentially prey upon people's desire to be accepted in society and fear of being locked out of it, both financially and socially, in order to scare them into getting injected. The now not so prestigious Harvard also recommended people use this tactic of psychological manipulation and torture to convince people to inject themselves, even calling for inducing, quote, guilt and regret by scapegoating the unvaccinated. This front page of the Toronto Star reads, "If an unvaccinated person catches it from someone who is vaccinated, boo-hoo, too bad. I have no empathy left for the willfully unvaccinated. Let them die. I honestly don't care if they die from COVID. Not even a little bit. Unvaccinated patients do not deserve ICU beds." We really do hope that this serves as a lesson for anyone who participated in these carefully crafted tactics used as a tool to manipulate the population into turning on those who were actually looking at the science from day one. Those who were listening to all of the doctors who'd been censored, banned, deplatformed, and smeared in the media, who were just trying to save lives. They were telling the truth from day one, and so were we. We're starting to see masses of people who took the injection now regret it, although you'd be hard-pressed to find people coming out publicly and saying they regret not doing so. And for those of us who withstood this gross medical experiment, we have been vindicated. We always knew we would be, but it was never about that for us. It was about saving your life. Next time, please listen to us. And now a message from our sponsor, The Wellness Company. Everyone knows the next medical crisis is just around the corner. Whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something much more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's where The Wellness Company comes in. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust, and their new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. The medical emergency kit provides a guidebook to aid in the safe use of all of these life-saving medications. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID and even to a bioweapon like the plague, the Wellness Company's medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, and antiparasitics on hand to keep you and your family safe. Go to twc.health/blackout today and order. That's twc.health/blackout and use the promo code blackout to save 10%. Our next story is a repost of a powerful op-ed from the Epoch Times about the possibility of up to 400,000 Ukrainians killed in action. This is from a former colonel who says that estimates of Ukrainians killed in action range from a low of just over 30,000 to a high of over 400,000. And obviously, these two estimates can't be reconciled. And it really, really matters to the people of Ukraine which one is closer to the truth. While 30,000 deaths is tragic, anything approaching 400,000 killed in action and the accompanying hundreds of thousands of casualties is a humanitarian catastrophe that makes talks of continuing offensive operations next year or even believing in a stalemate wishful thinking that will result in even more fruitless Ukrainian deaths. I note that President T-shirt just visited the White House and Biden committed another $200 million to Ukraine. It seems to be a never-ending coffer when it comes to Ukraine. Now they're enlisting men that are over 40, over 50, because they've lost so many young men. So is this possible? Is it closer to 400,000? Well, it is very, very likely. And I note that on the actual article from the Epoch Times, it ends with a very, very powerful statement that should be read. Well, it is certainly not a laughing matter. 400,000 men dead in Ukraine, if that's closer to the truth, is absolutely devastating. But what will be more devastating is if we escalate to the point of nuclear war, which Alex Jones is warning about as we speak. Community Notes claims that NATO is not mobilizing for war with Russia, but important to understand is that the source that's been used to quote-unquote debunk Jones is a NATO source. Of course, NATO would be denying that they're not preparing to mobilize war with Russia. And so Alex Jones and Jack Posobiec have just conducted an interview on this topic. We encourage everyone to go and watch it. Zelensky made comments recently that your sons and daughters will have to die for Ukraine. And President Joe Biden has said if we stop funding Ukraine, we may need to send American troops. It is well and truly time for the American people to stand up and say enough is enough. And on the topic of humanitarian crisis, our next story is Musk asking Zelensky about imprisoned American journalist after Tucker has sounded the alarm. In May, American YouTuber and columnist Gonzalo Lira was arrested in Ukraine because he, quote, publicly justified the Russian invasion, according to a press release by the Security Service of Ukraine. The statement from Kiev said that Lira, quote, has the citizenship of one of the countries of Latin America, end quote, but omitted that he is also a California-born US citizen, as Zero Hedge contributor Space Worm reported at the time. Now, following his release, Lira said that he was tortured in a Ukrainian prison, explaining that two thugs held my head and used a toothpick to scratch the whites of my left eye while asking me if I could still read if I had just one. Lira informed followers that he was making a mad dash via motorcycle towards the Hungarian border. And you can see he's quoted there saying, right now I'm about to try to get out of Ukraine and seek political asylum in Hungary. Either I'll cross the border and make it to safety or I'll be disappeared by the Kiev regime. It is just one example of many gross human rights abuses by the Zelensky regime. In amongst that list is also the persecution of the Orthodox Church, effectively banning Orthodoxy in Ukraine under the guise of protecting the country from Russian spies or whatever. But in the mix of all of this is something that we at Z Media reported on in March of 2023. It was Ukraine 24, the official fundraising platform of Ukraine, that exposed what much of this war is really about. Take a look at this.
Let's look 8 years ahead. 2030. The history of the new Ukraine is studied all over the globe. Why? Because Ukraine became the most digital and convenient country in the world. Scripts have replaced bureaucrats. 500,000 former public servants are successfully integrated in the new economy. No more red tape, but paperless. No more banknotes, but cashless. Yes, we became the first country to abandon paper money. Ukraine now has the best tax system for the IT industry and the most affordable e-residency. Thanks to Ukrainian engineers and programmers, the R&D centers of the world's top technology companies operate successfully, and Ukraine ranks first in the world by the number of startups per capita. Ukrainian courts are guided by artificial intelligence, and all notarial acts take place online. Ukrainian customs is fully automatic and the fastest in the world. Customs clearance and car registration can now be done in three clicks from your smartphone. Because of war and internal migration, we have built the most flexible and modern digital education. Brave military and civilians get quality treatment with modern remote monitoring and e-health systems. Ukraine also has the most effective cyber defense in the world. After the horrors of 2022, Ukraine focused on security systems. Now every production facility has its air defense system, and the sleep of Ukrainians is protected by an ultra-modern iron dome. The Ukrainian government is digital, more like an IT company in terms of the efficiency of implementing decisions, and one can register a land plot, start construction, open a business or get a license, and register a car or real estate from a smartphone, automatically, in one click. Ukraine is the freest and digital. This is all because international partners and the world's leading technology companies supported the Digital for Freedom initiative and united to help Ukraine recover through digitalization. Building a new Ukraine together, free and the fastest, brave and digital.
So there you have it. United 24, the official fundraising platform of Ukraine, supported by organizations like Deloitte and Uber, completely removing government. No bureaucracy, everything's paperless, everything's digital, digital courts, everything will be done in the metaverse. Guess what? That means no judicial system either, all powered by AI. Very, very similar to what the World Economic Forum is saying that they want the entire world to adopt as their model. So the question remains, is this undying support of the West for Ukraine, because they all know that they are building the first New World Order, fully automated AI-run model for the world in Ukraine? I'll let you decide. If the COVID pandemic taught us anything, it's that you have to take control of your own health. You can't rely on the government or Big Pharma. That's where Z-Stack comes in. Z-Stack is a specially formulated supplement that includes zinc, quercetin, vitamin C and vitamin D, formulated by Dr. Vladimir Zelenko, the world-renowned doctor that President Trump credited with his successful early treatment of COVID protocol and his decision to take hydroxychloroquine. Supercharge your immune system and keep you and your family safe from anything the globalists throw at us. Go to zstacklife.com/blackout and order today. Well, excess deaths are skyrocketing across every single country that has a very high COVID injection rate. It is the opposite of what should be occurring with a so-called safe and effective vaccine, but it is true for every single nation, as I said. And in Australia here, they have absolutely refused to investigate the excess mortality in our country. Senator Alex Antic proposed in Parliament that we simply investigate why so many Australians are dying, and yet most of the Parliament voted against that investigation. I also note that the same senator introduced a bill to find out who has ties to the World Economic Forum in the Australian Parliament. Just disclose your ties if you think it's such a great organisation, and 80% of the Parliament voted against that motion. I wonder why. But Canada has reported now a 300% increase in unspecified causes of death, sparking calls for an investigation. It is a new government report that is claiming unspecified causes have become the fifth leading cause of death in the country after cancer, heart disease, COVID-19, and accidents. And we also must note that there has been much evidence to suggest that COVID-19 deaths are not actually deaths from COVID. We've even had admissions in Australia from our so-called health officials that they died with COVID, and it's very hard to know who actually died from COVID. We know that there was a story out of the United States some time ago about a gentleman who tragically passed away in a motorcycle accident and was listed as a COVID death because he tested positive with a faulty PCR for COVID at the time of his death. It was obviously not COVID that killed him. And so this is no doubt part of the reason why COVID mortality is so high across so many countries. But according to the Statistics Canada report, unspecified causes in 2022 passed strokes, aneurysms, chronic bronchitis, emphysema, asthma, diabetes, influenza and pneumonia, chronic liver disease and cirrhosis, Alzheimer's and suicide as causes of death. The COVID-19 in deaths in Canada decreased to 14,000 odd in 2021 from 16,000 in 2020, and Canada is on track for about 7,000 COVID deaths in 2023, Picard said. But on the Canada story, if COVID-19 cannot account for these excess deaths, I think it's obvious to conclude what can, and the problem seems to be getting so bad that a growing number of formerly pro-vaccine doctors can no longer deny it. That brings us to our next story. A pro-vaccine doctor has come to a chilling realization saying, "I can't continue to vaccinate here." She says, "We must have had 300 to 400 people who have come to us with the feeling that they have had problems since the vaccination." Her name is Dr. Cornelia Shannett, and it says that she's come to grips with an uncomfortable reality that she can no longer deny, that the so-called COVID-19 vaccinations are not as safe and effective as the government touted. Now, the video is available to view on X. It's linked here, but it is in another language, so I will read some of the transcript of this video. It says, "We have carried out around 3,000 to 4,000 vaccinations in my practice, and as few side effects, as we saw at the beginning, this slowly became more the case over the course of the year. You may not notice the first cases that much or dismiss it as an isolated case, possibly also as a psychological overreaction. But towards the end of the year, this increased. Then more and more people came with supposed complaints after the vaccination. And then you question your own perception a bit. And it was also difficult to discuss it. She then says that there are also groups who are founded by doctors who also vaccinate. And then you realize that they perceive the same thing in their patient clientele. People are reporting the same complaints, such as cardiac arrhythmias, insane fatigue, persistent muscle pain, and nerve inflammation. And then slowly, this became reproducible. And then she said, of course, you try to look for scientific discourse. And what was shocking to her was that this was not possible. It was dismissed. It was actually an absolutely dogmatic and certain and rock solid statement. This is not from the vaccination. And the more patients came, the greater the inner conflict became for me and for many doctors who actually want the best for their patients. She mentions an extraordinary case of a 16-year-old boy who arrived to them 48 hours after his second dose with nausea and chest pressure. And he was sent to the hospital and they concluded that he'd had myocarditis, a massive myocarditis, she says, of the heart, was diagnosed there. Thank God he got well again, but that was the moment when I really stopped. And she says, concludes with, that was the moment when I thought to myself, I can't continue to vaccinate here. I have to stick to the truth. I have to live up to this trust. This is consistent with many doctors, actually, even though they're not speaking out yet, as this doctor said. There are groups that are coming to this realization and discussing it amongst one another, but they hit a brick wall when they try to have a scientific discourse about it. Why are so many doctors still in denial? Could it be the moral and ethical dilemma that they're in, that they recommended this so-called medication that is actually hurting so many? I note when I met Dr. Asim Malhotra when he visited Australia, this was really a challenge for him, but not a difficult decision because you have to do what's right. And so we really, really hope that with all of the whistleblowers coming out and all of the evidence and data and the studies being published, that doctors will once and for all speak up and ensure that this gross type of experimentation on human beings never happens again. Our next shocking story involves two men, YouTubers Shane Dawson and Ryland Adams, who announced the birth of their sons, Jet and Max, on Sunday. Dawson is the biological father to one of the boys, while Adams is the biological father to the other. The mother of the children, whom they called the egg donor, is unknown. A separate woman carried and gave birth to the children for payment. Let me just be clear here that we're not suggesting her motive for participating in this solely related to the money she ultimately received. But the article goes on to detail the process these two men went through to provide the sperm to the clinic. I'll spare you the fine details of that, although these two men documented the details of it on their YouTube channel. The materials provided for the process and included footage of the room in the clinic where this took place, complete with a plastic-covered chair. Quite grotesque, if you ask me. The process of surrogacy for these two men, according to this article, and very well documented by them on their YouTube channel, does not, in my opinion, reflect proud parents, but rather taking possession of a custom-ordered Lamborghini. It all just seems very transactional and certainly contains a lot of drama, which has garnered hundreds of thousands of views on YouTube. And there is no indication that this type of content is going to be demonetized by the platform anytime soon. Now, while these two homosexual males have essentially purchased these babies in a business transaction that has been paraded on social media, that is not the worst part of this story. The article goes on to say that as part of the process, an additional 10 embryos were created and subsequently cast aside and possibly killed in favour of the implantation of Jed and Max, who were described as optimal embryos. The pro-life community holds true to the fact that life begins at conception, an embryo therefore is a human life, but in this case, as with all surrogacy cases, children are created, if you can use that word, and then frozen or killed. Without this scientific medical intervention, we can liken it to a couple giving birth to 12 children, picking the best two, and then disregarding or even killing 10 of them because they are not optimal. The whole process seems very unnatural and very transactional. And as controversial as this may be, first of all, the only natural way to have a family is for a man and a woman to conceive their children together. While some men and women struggle to conceive, it could be argued there is place for the process of surrogacy, although the details need to be scrutinized and investigated, especially considering further details covered in the article. It goes on to state the use of surrogacy and in vitro fertilization is rapidly gaining traction. In 2022, the global surrogacy industry was valued at over $14 billion. The industry is predicted to experience 25% compound annual growth over the next decade to make it a $129 billion industry by 2032. In 2021, 413 in vitro fertilization cycles took place in the United States, from which over 97,000 children were born. However, those aren't the only children involved in the process, as 12 to 15 embryos are typically produced in each in vitro treatment. E. Christian Brugger of the National Catholic Register recently calculated that this conservatively means that more than 2.5 million human beings were either killed or frozen in a single year in our country to fuel this sordid industry, he says. Fertility clinics, Brugger concluded, are a place of unspeakable evil, arguably worse than abortion facilities. The mass killing of embryos created through this process is, without a doubt, the worst aspect of in vitro fertilization and surrogacy. But the selling and buying of eggs, sperm, and women's bodies, and the commodification of children who are purposefully deprived of their biological parents, ought to awaken even pro-abortion advocates to their evils. Scientists have studied the Swampy Cree Native American tribe for years, wondering how they maintain such exceptional health. In addition to a diet of simple, natural, and raw foods, the Cree's ancient practice of consuming bison organs is credited with their exceptional health. Their bison organs are one of the most nutrient-rich, bioavailable, and sustainable sources of vital nutrients known to man. These bison organs are Mother Nature's miracle, providing nutritional and hormonal support like no other food source on Earth. And now they're available to us from the great company Naked Organs. The Bison Trifecta, the company's best-selling product, supports heart health, cognitive function, athletic performance, nurtures liver health, provides immune support, and combats inflammation. Go to holisticgoddess.com/blackout and order today. Use promo code blackout to save an additional 10%. You may remember last week that we discussed the huge news out of Slovakia that their new prime minister had rejected signing the WHO's pandemic treaty and that this move would trigger a chain reaction. Well, it has. Breaking news this week, the US has introduced two new bills to do just that, but it also extends to exiting the United Nations as well. The two bills are HR 6645 and S3428, and these two companion pieces of legislation in the House and the Senate seek to have the United States exit the United Nations and exit the World Health Organization and all related conventions and agreements. Representative Chip Roy from Texas and Representative Mike Rogers are the sponsor and initial co-sponsor of HR 6645, while Senator Mike Lee has sponsored identical companion legislation in the Senate. James Roguski notified the world of this initially, and he said, "In my opinion, it is unfortunate that the sponsors of these identical bills chose to name them as they did, but please realize that despite their use of the acronym defund, these identical pieces of legislation seek to accomplish much more than just defunding the United Nations and the World Health Organization." Representative Chip Roy stated, "This year, the United Nations' corruption and its despicable, brazen political agenda have been on full display. The UN doesn't deserve one single dime of American taxpayer money or one bit of our support. We should defund it and leave immediately." Senator Mike Lee stated, "No more blank checks for the United Nations. Americans' hard-earned dollars have been funneled into initiatives that fly in the face of our values, enabling tyrants, betraying allies, and spreading bigotry. With the Defund Act, we're stepping away from this debacle." James Roguski says that the United Nations and the World Health Organizations are threats to the United States' national sovereignty and the God-given freedoms of Americans. And now is the time to demand that your elected officials and candidates for those offices take a stand on the issues that are important to you with the primary elections just around the corner. It is the perfect opportunity, says James. And so he's got information on how you can take action and send the emails to your senators and members of Congress in this article. People can also go to PreventGenocide2030.org, where you can actually use their template to simply click a few buttons and automatically contact your representatives this way also. I just interviewed Dr. Rima Labo this weekend, and she said, and I have to agree with her, now is the time to take this sort of action. There has never been a time that the population has been as primed as they are right now to exit these organizations. The public awareness of what sort of a cancer the WHO and the UN are has grown to levels that we've never seen before in history. Dr. Rima Labo in particular warned about the COVID injections many, many years ago. She said that there was going to be an injection that was introduced as part of a pandemic, but it would actually cause depopulation. And boy, was she right. And so she's saying that although she's been warning about this for many, many years, finally people have realized just how serious this is. And as James Rogowski said, with elections around the corner, now is the perfect time to contact these elected representatives and make your voices heard, particularly when we have organizations like the World Economic Forum stating that in future there won't be any elections. AI is going to do it for us. So we have a very, very small window of opportunity to make the demands of those elected officials, who, by the way, are paid by our tax dollars to serve us, and tell them, this is what we want. We the people want this, before AI comes and tells us that the World Health Organization is the best thing since sliced bread, which we all know that it's not. Their recommendations over the COVID era absolutely caused harm. The United Nations boasts about the Melbourne experiment, which, by the way, Monash University, after I exposed the Melbourne experiment on InfoWars, removed that article from their website, even though they claim they're proud of the Melbourne experiment. And within that report, and I'll paraphrase here, it said that the model used on Melbourne, the most lockdown city in the Western world, would be extended past COVID. They were going to learn from how great it was for the environment that they locked all these people up, locked children up, caused depression, suicide, and God knows what else. It was fantastic and it was really, really helpful for the planet. And so we're going to do this moving forward based on this social experiment. And they said that the living lab extends past the period of COVID-19 and that this is really, it's really interesting when you consider how this links in with the decarbonization model of the World Economic Forum and everything that the world leaders just agreed to at COP28, which we will have a look at in a moment. But this is the smart city agenda. The United Nations fully plan on promoting and implementing the smart city agenda worldwide under their One World Government model. And so what that looks like is locking you in your home on a permanent basis. They talk about having a radius where you can't travel more than 15 minutes. In fact, we've reported on government documents from Australia where there is a border and they call them districts and you can't leave your district. And of course, once you have a social credit system disguised as a digital ID and digital currency in place, your money can be turned off as soon as you leave your border. Apple already has geofencing patents out there. And so it's very important to understand just how crucial this move is by the United States. And I maintain that if the US does this successfully, every single country will follow and we will free the world of the clutches of these two evil organizations. And as I often say, when you look at everything that's wrong with the world, for example, the sexualization of children or banning your air conditioner, all of these things are symptoms of the main disease. You can put a Band-Aid on top of cancer, but unless you cut the cancer out, it will keep growing under that Band-Aid. And so this is what the World Health Organization and the United Nations are. They are the cancer that are responsible for promoting absolutely anti-human narratives. So again, please visit those websites. Visit James Rogowski's Substack, which is inside that article posted on the Vigilant News Network. I'm going to bring it up again for everyone to see. Exit the United Nations and the WHO, or visit PreventGenocide2030.org and contact your representatives today. America, you have a chance to free your country and free the rest of the world. And after we've exited the World Health Organization, we can focus our attention on fixing the current health system, which is in absolute shambles. That's what Dr. Paul Marik has said in his latest exposure of the biggest hoax in medicine outside of COVID. He gave a very interesting address at the Florida COVID Summit. Let's take a listen to this.
It's impossible to talk about COVID without looking at our healthcare system. And our healthcare system is a hoax. And so my advice to you, don't get sick. Don't go to the hospital because they're going to kill you. What you got to do, you got to eat right, sleep right, get sunshine, relax, and take care of your lifestyle, because the medical system will kill you.
Startling commentary there from Dr. Marek, but commentary we should certainly pay attention to, considering that he is the second most published critical care physician in the world. The life expectancy that he spoke about as well is something that everyone should know about. He shared a graph comparing life expectancies between different countries and healthcare expenditure per capita. Americans ranked dead last on life expectancy despite spending far more on healthcare than any other nation. "We have a big problem," said Dr. Marek. "And what you may not know is the life expectancy of Americans has gone down in the last 3 years by 3 years. And how did that happen? Well, according to the White House, it's global warming." The only explanation that they have. He also says that the other thing which is terrifying is that the US makes up 5% of the world's population, yet we consume 55% of the prescription medications. This tells you how sick Americans are, that 55% of the world's consumption of medication is in this country. We are sick people. He also revealed that atorvastatin, a cholesterol medication, was the most commonly prescribed drug in the United States. And despite the common notion that cholesterol medication reduces heart disease, Marek called it the great cholesterol myth. Why is cholesterol medication a myth? Well, Marek said, lowering your cholesterol won't prevent heart disease. It's called a myth. It's a hoax. What do statins do? He asked. They increase your risk of diabetes. They increase your risk of Alzheimer's disease and dementia. Yet they are the most commonly prescribed drugs in this country. Marek presented a graph from a study that showed that elderly patients with the highest cholesterol levels actually had the best survival rates. Next, Marek showcased a staggering study from the BMJ, often referred to as one of the most reputable journals in the world. The British Medical Journal concluded there is a lack of an association or an inverse association between low-density lipoprotein cholesterol and mortality in the elderly, meaning that cholesterol medication had either no impact or a negative impact on mortality rates among elderly patients. Dr. Marek was ostracized for his dissenting views about the COVID-19 injections and ivermectin. In August of 2023, he was informed by the American Board of Internal Medicine that his board certification was to be revoked for, quote, spreading false or inaccurate medical information, end quote. However, it seems that doctors who received the most backlash for their viewpoints on COVID also ended up being the most right. What we can learn from Dr. Marek is that you cannot outsource your health to the medical system because there is a good chance that it's going to kill you. Instead, consider Marek's suggestions by sleeping right, getting enough sunshine, lowering stress, and adopting a healthier lifestyle. In a world of overly complex supplements, MetaRadiance stands apart with its straightforward, powerful approach. Crafted from the purest ingredients in your spice cabinet, it's designed to naturally enhance and support your metabolism. MetaRadiance harnesses the metabolic boosting power of cinnamon, the natural energy of garlic, the warming, calorie-burning effects of cayenne pepper, and the digestive benefits of cardamom. Black pepper is added to enhance absorption, ensuring you get the full benefits of every ingredient. This is about embracing the simplicity and potency of natural spices, a blend that's both effective and trustworthy. MetaRadiance is not just a supplement, it's a commitment to holistic, balanced health. Visit holisticgoddess.com/metablackout today and use code BLACKOUT for 15% off. Discover the MetaRadiance difference and begin your journey to a more vibrant, energized life. It's time to take your health back, naturally. Now, I could talk to you about the World Economic Forum and the horrors of absolutely everything that they suggest, including ending private vehicle ownership, spying on everything you do online, and the list goes on and on and on. But like I said earlier in the broadcast, this all ultimately comes from the United Nations and their 17 Sustainable Goals for Development. But article number 2 this week focuses specifically on the World Economic Forum demanding a $3.5 trillion per year to, quote, decarbonize the planet and reach net zero and restore nature. And of course, you have this caricature over here in his evil overlord outfit. The creepy anti-humans who run the World Economic Forum have decided that we must do more to save Gaia. According to a new white paper published Wednesday by the Davos outfit in partnership with McKinsey and Company, it's time to print more money to further devalue the wealth of the common man in order to pursue the apparent noble goal of decarbonisation. Well, yes, Klaus Schwab, you're absolutely right. The anti-system movement is growing, and the system that the people are against is the one that says that they can't travel more than 1,500 kilometres per person every 3 years. As we looked at last week, as per the ARUP report, which is every single council in the world basically saying, we're going to do this in our districts, and yes, they do call them districts, not letting people buy more than 3 items of clothing per year, not letting people eat any meat, not consuming any dairy. Of course people are against that. And as more and more people start to wake up to this anti-human agenda, the House of Cards is starting to fall, which brings us to our number one story this week, an absolute bombshell. An Italian health minister is under investigation for murder for concealing COVID-19 vaccine deaths. Quote, he knew the shots were killing people and gave orders to local health authorities to conceal deaths and serious side effects, end quote. Former Italian Health Minister Roberto Speranza is under investigation for homicide after emails reveal that from the very start of the vaccinations, he knew the shots were killing people and gave orders to local health authorities to conceal deaths and serious side effects in order to reassure Italian citizens of their safety and to not jeopardize the vaccination campaign. This was reported on InfoWars by Greg Reese. Italian Health Minister gave orders to conceal vaccination deaths. These staggering accusations were being reported on by both a German and Italian news network. Greg Reese has actually provided an English translation to this report, and I want to play some of that now.
The Rome Public Prosecutor's Office is investigating Roberto Speranza, the Italian government's health minister, during the time of COVID measures. He was responsible for the vaccination campaign. The investigations are the result of complaints related to the so-called AIFA emails from the Italian Medicines Agency. The former director of AIFA, Nicola Magrini, is also under investigation. The publication of these internal emails revealed that they had been aware of the dangers of the COVID vaccination from the start. The accusation is that the responsible minister and the head of the drug authority knowingly and deliberately exposed the unsuspecting Italian population to this risk. Yes, they encouraged Italians to get vaccinated. Vaccination was even made mandatory for certain professional groups. Consequently, many side effects, including fatal ones, came to light. The investigations are for murder, serious bodily harm, and more, because Speranza and Magrini evidently gave instructions to the local health authorities to conceal the deaths and serious side effects that occurred immediately after the vaccinations began, in order not to jeopardize the vaccination campaign and to reassure the citizens about their safety.
Now, Reese also added that recently the Philippine House of Representatives voted to conduct an investigation into the mysterious surge in unexplained deaths, numbering over 260,000 in 2021 and around 67,000 in 2022. However, it seems that the government inquiry into shocking unexplained deaths has been hampered after the country experienced a powerful 7.6 magnitude earthquake. That entire article is available on the Vigilant News Network. The cat is definitely, undoubtedly out of the bag that these globalist, self-proclaimed elites want to harm us, and the so-called anti-system movement, as Klaus Schwab puts it, really just is a pro-humanity movement. And it's been joined by people from all over the world, from all backgrounds, all socioeconomic statuses, all education levels, and all countries. Accountability is coming, whether those who have harmed us like it or not. We're grateful for all of the viewers of today's broadcast and all of the people around the world working together for human liberty. That concludes our top 10 stories for this week. Share this everywhere to help break through the lies of the legacy media and tell the stories that they simply won't. Make sure to follow Vigilant Fox on X, Getter, Telegram, and across all platforms, and check vigilantnews.com regularly for the latest stories. You can also find me on X under Z_media. That's Z with three E's. Tune in next Sunday night at 6 p.m. Eastern for Media Blackout. Until then, stay informed, stay vigilant.